writing to the church there at Rome. He's trying to encourage them in a lot of things. He's given the gospel. He's really given a good account of it. He's speaking of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the fact that there's no one that's righteous, and that righteousness only comes through one, and that's Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no work you can add to it. There's nothing you can change it. Chapter 4 dealt with that. It was all about faith, just as Abraham, it was counted unto him for righteousness when he believed God. And so then as he gave that and opened that up to us in chapter 5 about the justification, then chapter 6, 7, and 8, he started talking about sanctification. Once you're saved, the next move is to learning to grow in Christ and learning what sanctification means as a Christian. And he really describes a lot of this. In the first chapter 6, he talked about the union with Christ, that we're buried with Christ. Just like Christ was buried and rose up, we too have risen up in a new life, brand new life. And then chapter 7, he went back and talked about the difficulties of this life. The problem is that as a Christian, we still have the flesh. You're not going to lose the flesh. You're always going to have the flesh. It's always going to be with you until you see Jesus Christ. That's when it'll be gone. No more struggle. And the more you grow and learn about Jesus Christ and more you follow Him and walk with Him, the less the flesh will rear its ugly head. The less you walk with Jesus and the more you walk in the flesh will be prominent. It will come out. It'll be in the way you think, what you do, how you act. And Paul shared that with us in chapter 7, the struggle there. In chapter 8, he talks about the victory in sanctification through the Holy Spirit. We have the victory. It's a struggle, though, because of the flesh. But here he's talking about this and he's speaking to those. Look at verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And he's assuming that you're in Christ Jesus. You will not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's true. When, as a born-again Christian, that is our desire. Why? Because something comes into a life that is different. It's not just we said a prayer or got baptized or joined the church. I did that. But there was something wrong with that. It was the cart before the horse. No relationship. Still dead in my sins and trespasses. Still lost. But when I realized it after 3 years, understood that in my pride I thought I was somebody, and what the Bible teaches is I'm a nobody, and I finally understood that I was lost. Completely, totally lost. All the things I did before, all the work I tried to be evidence of salvation was of naught. It was a waste of time. But the night I realized I was lost, and it wasn't just that night, it was over a period of time through different circumstances and different men, preachers, and then I realized that night I was going to surrender. Why? Because in my heart and mind, the Lord said, Bruce, this is the last time. You've heard the gospel for years and years and years. You still don't understand it. You've got to come to the understanding. You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. And that night, realizing that, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I knew there was a difference. I was still looked like the same person. I still dressed the same way at that time. But it was on the inside. My life had changed, and I started growing. My desires were different. Prior to that salvation, what I wanted to do was work my way up in the ladder of success. That was my desire. And I did everything I could. I had a sheet where if you did this, if you had so many patents or so many papers or whatever it was you had to do, I was checking those off because I was looking for my next promotion. And that was my goal. And then when I got saved, I don't know what happened to that paper because I didn't care anymore. All of a sudden, the Lord started leading me to the spiritual side of things. And I cared more about carrying a Bible in my back pocket and telling people about Jesus. It changed. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That's what happens to us. It doesn't happen to maybe the same degree in everybody's life, but I think it does. If we're reading the Word of God, the Spirit of God is working in our lives, we're going to have that desire. And he's going to talk about that in verse 14, being led of the Spirit. We want to be led of the Spirit of God, right? The Spirit resides in the believer. And the Word of God reveals, or the Spirit of God reveals the Word of God so we can follow Him. I don't know about you, but because of pride and because of all the baggage and the different things going on in my life, I lose sight of what God really wants me to do at times. And I get sidetracked. And it's so easy to do. Things come up in your life and there are real problems and real situations. And instead of looking to the Word of God and being led by the Spirit, I'm led by the man's wisdom or my ideas. And I'll tell you what, most often I fail. Most often I look back and regret it. Most often I have to go to God and say, please forgive me for not consulting you and getting the wisdom that you have in the Word of God for me. So he's just going to teach us and share with us tonight about this victory. Now he's comparing, when he talks about the carnal, he's talking about a lost person here. And then he's also talking about that person that has the Spirit of God. And this is the conflict. Now, that is the literal meaning of this, but also there is that idea that even as a Christian, you can have a carnal mind. We've already read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? There's the lost natural man, there's a carnal man, there's the saved man, spiritual man. So when you look at these things, sometimes Christians, they fall into this middle category that their mind is not on the Lord, but on the world. And Peter talks about that and shares that in 2 Peter chapter 1. But let's just read this. We're going to read again down to verse 17 tonight. We'll see if we get farther or not. But in chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." I like this next conjunction here. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father," a new relationship. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God tonight. I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason I'm here and these folks are here in this room tonight is because of Jesus Christ. There's really no other reason to be here. It's the fact that we have put our faith and trust in Jesus that has brought us together to become the family that we are. This family is and should be stronger than our own blood kin if they're lost. Because this family has the Spirit of God residing in them. And it's the Spirit of God that challenges us, that convicts us, that confirms in us, and changes us, and helps us to be what the Word of God teaches us to be. And Father, it's my desire, it's our desire in this place tonight to please You above all. That's something we all have a desire to do. We want to please You. But often, the flesh, it gets in the way. Father, help each one of us as we look to You to grow in grace, that we might have the power and strength in the Spirit of God to kill the flesh, to mortify. We thank You for the Word and pray You just guide and direct tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we finished up the first four verses last week. And again, when it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, He's not comparing those who walk after the flesh and those who walk after the Spirit. It is assumed that if you are a child of God, you're going to walk in the Spirit. That is assumed. That's what Paul is assuming. He's talking about the victory we can have and the victory we should have as Christians. And again, He knows the struggle. He already revealed that to us in chapter 7. He said, I know the difficulties. And then He said in verse 24, He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And He knows that's going to happen when He meets the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, when He was in the flesh, there was sin prevalent in his life. When he was in the Spirit of God, then he was walking with God and he was pleasing God. And so now he says, I have the victory and I want to share it with you in chapter 8. Those that have the Spirit of God can be led by the Spirit of God and will be led. Now, again, understand, all of this has to do with our growth. You know, a newborn babe still has to be fed the bottle, right? Has to be, the diaper has to be changed and you have to do all those things. Well, there are newborn Christians. And often, they're still filled with so much flesh. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but who in here got saved? And then it wasn't long after, maybe your nature wasn't that way, but you were swearing and saying the same kind of words you did before. Or you had the same thoughts and you were doing the same thing. I was. Why? Because I was growing and I just started learning about Christ. And as I learned about Christ, I realized those things were wrong. And so I tried to submit to God and say, God, help me. I don't want to do this. To be honest with you, I could never have done this on my own. The Spirit of God has taken away those things I used to think about, those things I used to say. The places I used to go, the people I used to hang with, all of that He took away. My best friend, He took away. Why? Because we were contrary one to another. Our lives were going different directions. Did I hate my brother, or my best friend, my brother-in-law? No. But he wasn't living the way that I realized God wanted me to live. That changed me. And what God was doing, and that was early on, He was leading me. He was helping me. Verse 2, He says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, because I have the Spirit of God in me, I'm free from the law of sin and death. What that means is, now I have Christ in me, I don't have to look at the law and check it off, because I want to please God. Can you see the transformation of the attitude of the Christian and the lost person? First off, the lost person can never please God. There are people in religions today that think that they can get to heaven by their so-called faith in Christ and works. But they can never do enough work. They can never get it right. Why? Because the flesh is dead, what Paul writes and tells us. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. And that's what it has to be, is it has to be our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He says, For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after of the Spirit. Again, that's that attitude change. It's really not an attitude change. It's a Spirit of God change in your lives. And you start wanting to walk with Jesus. You start taking that transformation from where you were, the way you lived, and you didn't. At first, you did it because you learned it from other Christians. I mean, that's the way I did it. You go to church and you see how people act and behave. Well, that's the way I started learning, without really any foundation for it, not a clear understanding of it. But then as I got into the Word of God and someone showed me things, my uncle showed me a long time ago. I don't know if he's picking on me or what. He says, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I said, okay. And when he showed me that in the Bible, you know, I thought, you know, he's right. That's what the Bible says. Now, I didn't understand all the culture aspects of it and whatnot, but when I start studying the Bible and you start studying the Bible, we start seeing things. We start realizing that here's what God's Word says, so I'm going to act upon it. What we want in this life, what you and I are desiring more than anything else, I think, is to have a practical Christianity. One that is living the life that God's called us to live. Not coming to church, sitting in a service, and just hearing something and going out the door and forgetting it. It's like one guy said one time he's leaving church service. he went out and says, okay, I just got the message and instruction, so now I'm going to go out and live it. I'm going to go out and practice it. And that's why we're here. We're here to learn what God's will is, how to please God, and then not walk out of here like the guy looking at the mirror and then turn away like he didn't hear nothing, but hey, I'm going to go apply this in my life. I'm going to study it out a little bit. I'm going to find out what God wants me to do with this. Why? Because as a Christian with the Spirit, you want to please God more than anything else. And that's what we're learning. That's what Paul is teaching us in this sanctification. He says in verse 4, says, for they that are after the flesh, this is a continuation of verse 4, where he said, fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Now he goes and says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so this is the difference. This is the difference of a born-again Christian, someone who is lost. Those that are after the flesh, they go after the things we talked about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifested or declared, which are these, he says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. I mentioned where we got the word pharmacy last time. Hatred, variance, emulations, that's jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies is disunion, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're lost. They're lost. They're at enmity with God. And we'll see that as we go along. But he says, but they that are after or according to the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Again, they're mentally disposed of the Spirit. It's they're thinking about the things of God. They're thinking about the Word of God. They read it this morning, and they're thinking about how do I apply that in my life. Now, I'm not saying every time you read the Bible, you're going to be thinking that way. I mean, there are times in my life I read the Bible and go, what did I read? And there have been times I've done that and say, I got to go back and read it again. I don't know about you, but I used to have a hard time of comprehending things. Probably still do. So sometimes I have to read it once, twice, three times, four times, whatever. But I want to know what it says. Why? Because God has something for me. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And He wants me to know what that counsel is. Paul describes the results of having the mind of the things of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's a lot easier to read it than do it. I promise you. But that's what we're trying to learn, isn't it? I mean, think about being a 40-year-old Christian and in the crib, and your mom and daddy have to go give you the bottle and change your diaper. Now, that will happen one day, probably. You get to a point where you're 70 or 80, it may happen, okay? But hopefully not at 40, it could. But that would be awful, wouldn't it? That'd be a terrible thing. We want to grow up in Christ. We want to learn about Him. So he's talking about two mindsets here. In verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." I want you to take your marker, hold in Romans 8, and go over to Philippians chapter 4, because I want to read Rob's favorite verse tonight. Okay, Rob, is that all right? Okay, thank you. We'll start in verse 4, though. We'll read a little bit more than just that. In chapter 4, verse 4, Paul is writing, and of course he's writing to his friends here and trying to encourage them as well. He's writing to the church at Philippi. In verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And then he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then he goes on and says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have heard, both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do." So he's saying exactly what I'm sharing with you is that we find out what the Word of God says, and it's not just coming into our ears, out in one ear and out the other. It's not just leaving it here in church and going home, but it's to do it. Be you doers of the Word and not hearers only. And that's what Paul is trying to get through to me and to all of us as we have this opportunity. And he says, "And the God of peace shall be with you." And that's exactly what he said here in Romans chapter 8 in verse 6 is, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want peace. I tell you, the world around us is crumbling. And yet, the Bible teaches us we can still have peace. We don't have to fret over these things. We don't have to get concerned. We don't have to get the shotguns, the pistols, and the pickets, and all this other stuff that everybody's doing these days. It's getting crazy. Just out crazy. We can trust God. We can believe what He says. And verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." And what he's saying is that the carnal mind is not going to be subject to the law. And the reason it can't be subject or subordinate to that law is because it can't keep it. Anybody in here and experienced the time when you couldn't keep the law? I'm not going to tell you how many because there's a lot of them. The first one I couldn't keep. And the fact is, that's what he's saying. The lost man cannot keep. He's not going to adhere to the law. And it says, and neither indeed can be. There's no possibility that he can do that. So what he's doing is showing us that it's impossible for a lost man to ever have to be with Christ. He can have a relationship if he puts his faith and trust in Jesus, but he can never attain to be with God. The time that he sees God will be at the great white throne of judgment. He'll see Him there, and then he'll see Him no more, because he'll be cast in the lake of fire. So there's two mindsets here. Proverbs 16:25. "There is a way that seemeth right unto Bruce." Really says man, okay. "But the end thereof are the ways of death." And it's true. The carnal mind is a lost man. Look at verse 7. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." That word enmity is talking about hostile or hatred. In fact, if you saw that video, I think Brandy did, there were people in there, that one about going in the church. I mean, they were saying blasphemy about God. They had hatred of God. They wanted to bring that church down. They wanted that church service stopped. And they were saying, we're going to call the police on your children. Or not the police, but whoever it is that comes get your children. Because they were in church. So in verse 7, he says, because, and that's the reason. That's the reason the carnal mind is death, is because the carnal mind is against God, hates God, doesn't want anything to do with God. Our society that we live in today does not want anything to do with God. Now, that's not saying there are people out there that we can still witness to. That's not saying that God is still moving on people's hearts and lives. I believe there are people out there because the Bible teaches us the fields are white unto harvest. But you know what? We don't believe it. Because if I believed it, I'd get out my tools and go out there and do some hoeing, some watering, and I'd go get some and start reaping. It's getting some of that white unto harvest out there. Because there is out there. It's like going fishing. And I'm speaking to me, myself, okay? But it's like going fishing. If you never go fishing, you're not going to catch a fish. It ain't going to happen. Now, maybe you've got a good neighbor to come over and give you one. Who knows? But you actually catching the fish, it won't happen until we go and get the bait, take the line, go cast the rod, and pull in the fish. And the way we do that as Christians is we go out and we share the Word of God. Not once, not twice, but often. Often. Why? Because I want to please my Lord and Savior. What's His goal? What did Jesus come for? He came so I would have a nice house, I'd have a lot of money, that I'd be all set and everything be cool, and I have great health, and I'd go do and live like I want to. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Hey, look, I was on that path. I'm telling you, truly. But the Lord took me off that. He said, that's not the goal. Don't mess up here. As a Spirit-led Christian, your goal is that others may see Christ. And you know, when I stand before the Lord, I know I'm going to be so terribly guilty. Because I'm guilty right now. Because of opportunities that I have and haven't done. And there are times when you see somebody, you get the chance. I'm learning more and more, though. Don't waste any opportunity. If the door opens any way, shape, or form, I'm going to say something. Why? Because that's the most important thing you can do is plant a seed. Because if I plant a seed, maybe Rob will come over and water it. Rob will say something. Randy will come over and she gets to reap it. She comes in church. Hey, praise the Lord! So-and-so got saved last week. It can happen. How do I know that? Because the Bible says it can happen. I believe God. Don't we believe God in that? Yeah, we do. But we have to be in that realm of thinking that we're trying to help people see God. Because the carnal mind, it will never be able to do that. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh, this is the last verse we'll read tonight, cannot, let me say that again, cannot please God. That means a lost person, no way, shape, or form can please God. I don't care what he does. I don't care how much he does. In the name of God, that will not please God. It will not. Why? Because the lost person has the carnal mind and he's at enmity with God. There's no other way, shape, or form about it. And then we're going to get the rest of it, which is much better. And I like that when he switches it and turns in verse 9. Now I'll leave you with this so I don't leave you with, you cannot please God. How about that? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now there's a condition. It either is true or not. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We'll leave it there and pick it up. God is good. God has so much for us. He wants to teach us. And he wants not just us to hear it, but he wants us to go practice it. And it's hard. It's hard to do that because it requires the biggest problem that I have, and that's to humble myself. Because I want to be the person who knows everything, don't you? But I don't. And there is nobody that does except for God. How do I know that? The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come tonight. I thank you for each one here. I thank you for their attentiveness, and I pray that you would just undergird them and strengthen them tonight. Father, I pray that Spirit of God that dwells them, Father, would just give them that desire to search the Scriptures and to find out what is it exactly you want us to be doing. How do you want us to practice Christianity? How you want us to live this life? Well, thank you for what you do in each life here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.